Okay, good morning, everyone. It is great to be here learning together. Welcome. I'd like to give a special shout out. She's shaking her head to my dear mother who came to join. So you can tell her some nice things about me afterwards if you want. It is great to be learning together and to be getting ready for Purim with learning Torah is especially important, as we spoke about already a few times, that the Jewish people reaccepted the Torah during the times of Purim, so we're going to learn together. I'd like today to talk about Purim, Achdus, Mishloach Manos, and why many of us are doing it wrong. That's what I wanted to talk about today. I said us, not you. I'm not going to stay and talk with myself. I'm talking to. It's not a potch. It'd be a gentle one. But we say it hurts me more than it hurts you. Is that what we say to our kids when we punch them? I'd like to start with six words or eight words of a Gemara, from a halachic standpoint, and then come back to the Megillah. The Gemara does not have a lot about Mishloach Manos. It doesn't have a lot, and it's pretty straightforward. Mishloach Manos ish l'riehu. You give two items. There's this misconception that has to be two different brachos. That's not true. That's not true. That's this thing. I don't know which Mora got that wrong and taught it to the kids. It does not have to be two brachos. It has to be two food items. But it could be a carrot and a cantaloupe. It could be a chicken and soda. There's a discussion whether two pieces of cake, if you give a marble cake and a chocolate pound cake, is that two food items? To give dark meat and white meat, is that called two food? The post can discuss this. Doesn't have to be two brachas. You can redo all your shalach manos and give two, the same bracha. There's not a lot in the Gemara. I said it was just scandalous. Right. So the Gemara has an interesting story. The Gemara says in the first source that Abaye bar Abin, Verabi Chanina bar Abin, so these two Amorim, Mechalfe Suda Tayu Hadadi. Literally what it means is they exchanged their Seudos. They exchanged their meals. What does that mean? So the Ran explains that they didn't have enough money to give Shalach Manos and to prepare a Suda. So what they do, I prepared a Suda, you prepared a Suda, I'll give you my Suda, you give me your Suda, and then we're both fulfilling Mishloach Manos and the Suda. What a great way to save money or to fulfill both mitzvos if one does not have ample funds to do both. However, Rashi says something different in the third source. Rashi says, Ze ochel im ze bepurim shel shana zu. So one ate with the other on this Purim. And on the next year, so'ed chaver imo, you'll eat with me. I'll go to you this year, and you come to me next year. They switched off. Not that they traded the actual meal, but they switched off meals. And the Mefarshim are bothered by Rashi, because if I have over the Plitmans this year, so I could fulfill Mishloach Manos, right? They ate by me. I gave them the meal.
Anyway, we have witnesses.
I said if.
No.
You're more than welcome. Please.
No.
So I could fulfill Mishloach Manos. Right? I don't have to actually drop it off at your house. I have the meal prepared. You come to me. I fulfill Mishloach Manos. But I go to you next year. How do you fulfill your Mishloach Manos this year?
I don't know. Will you eat by me?
That depends what you're making.
Good.
I'm more, you know, we're talking tuna fish, we're talking. So it helps that I have you in my house this year, I fulfill Mishloach Manos. But I go to you next year, that doesn't help you this year. So what is the Gemara telling us that they switched off years? Obviously, if you come to me this year, I fulfill the mitzvah, and I go to you next year, you fulfill the mitzvah next year, but not this year. So this is a question on that Gemara, and we're going to come back to this in a little bit. You find in the Megillah hints or places that it seems that the Jewish people at the start of the Purim story were very divided. There was division, There was a lacking of unity during the time of the Purim story. Now, you read through the simple psukim in the Megillah, you don't really get that sense. We don't know that much about what was the state of observance or the state of achdus during the time of the Megillah. However, there is a pasuk in the third parak. It's a pasuk over here in this fourth source. It says parak chaf. There is no parak chaf in the Megillah. It's parak gimel. When Haman has his decree, has his plan to destroy the Jewish people, he says, "Vayomer Haman laMelech Achashverosh," and you have the English underneath it. "Yeshno am echad mefuzar umeforad bein ha'amim b'chol medinos machusecha," which literally translate, there is a nation, one nation that's scattered and dispersed among the nations. "V'dasehem shonos mikol am," their laws are different. They don't keep the king's laws. It has no interest to you. Why would you tolerate it? Why would you allow them? Let's destroy them. And the Gemara, which I'll tell you outside, says that Haman is trying to convince Achashverosh to destroy the Jewish people. And he says to Achashverosh, they're worthless. Let's destroy them. And Achashverosh says, I'm scared of their God. So Haman says, "Yeshno." Yeshno means from Yashin. They're sleeping. They're not doing mitzvos. If the Jewish people are sleeping from mitzvos, don't worry about their God. Their God's going to destroy them anyways. So Haman says to Achashverosh says back to Haman, "Am Echad." Sorry. Achashverosh says to Haman, but they're tzaddikim also. Now they're all doing the bad. So Haman says to Achashverosh, "Am Echad." They're one nation, and as a nation, they're not doing well. So then Haman says to Achashverosh, "They're mefuzar umeforad." Achashverosh says to Haman, "It's not gonna look good. I'm gonna have a whole region, a whole country, a whole province that's just wiped out. It doesn't look good for my kingdom to have an empty land." So Haman says, "They're mefuzar, they're scattered. It's not a big deal if you destroy the Jews. It's not going to look bad to your kingdom." So then he says, "Maybe they do good for you. They make money for you." He says, "No, they're mefura. They're like this barren mule that they don't do anything to Jewish people. What are you going to say? They pay taxes? They don't pay taxes. They don't even work." He says, "They get off every day. They say Shabbos Hayom, Pesach Hayom. They never want to work. They claim every day is Shabbos and every day is Pesach. Get rid of them." That's the simple back and forth between Haman and Achashverosh. But the Mefarshim say, and the Svas Emes says this in Source 5 and others as well, it's very beautiful. He explains that B'nai Yisrael, Nasin Aguda Achas, when the Jewish people are one, Ein L'Amalek Shlita Behem. Amalek can't attack the Jewish people when we are one. And therefore, says the Svas Emes, who was the second Ger Rebbe, V'lachein Hilshin Haman, and therefore Haman speaks Lashon Hara on the Jewish people. What does he say? Am Echad Mefuzar Umefurad. There's one nation that's scattered, that's disconnected. They're not united. Shekol Koach Shelam Achdus, the Koach, the strength, the power of the Jewish people is its unity. The Atah Hey Mefurad, there's Pered, there's division. The Svas Emes and others explain that at the time of the Megillah, the Jewish people were divided. Haman picked up on that. Haman said to Achashverosh, "We could get the Jewish people, we could destroy the Jewish people because their koach, their strength is Achdus, and they're lacking that Achdus right now." Now, what was the lack of Achdus about? What were they fighting about? So we don't know. We don't know. But I would like to suggest the following. Achashverosh made his party. Did Jews go?
At the end.
How many Jews went to the party? They had to go to the party? They were forced to go. They were compelled to go. They went on their own volition.
A lot
went. How many is a lot?
First he made it for
how many people went?
I don't know, but they were. First he made it for to show off his wealth,
right,
to the kingdom, and then when he was done, he invited everybody.
Right. was a question. Should you start in Shushan and then invite everyone else? Start everyone else. But did they go? They it wasn't good that they went. Did they go? So look at this Medrash in Source 6. Unbelievable. I just saw this. I was blown away by this. Amar le Haman l'Achashverosh. Haman said, it's the bottom of page 1 in Source 6. And I couldn't get the English. I apologize, but I'll translate. Haman said to Achashverosh, Eloheim shelelu sone zimuhu. The God of these people, he does not like promiscuity. Ela hamed aleim zonos vaselahem mishte. So make a party, have prostitutes, have promiscuity, and make a party. The gazor aleim sheyavo, the yochlu v'yishtu kirtzom. Invite them all to come. They'll eat, they'll drink, and they'll act inappropriately. Shenamar lasos kirtzon ish v'ish. Don't make it obligatory. Invite them. Entice them to come, but don't make it obligatory. Because if it's obligatory, then Jews will have an excuse at the end of the day. Umisha yirtza lavo yavo, umisha lo yirtza lavo lo yavo. Make it optional. Kedesh lo yeh pischon peh lomar al korcham eviyam. The Jews shouldn't have an excuse that we were forced to go. So Gazar HaMelech Kach, Achashverosh got up and he said there was a party. Come, you should come. So imagine what was going on at the time. People felt, we got to go to this party. This is the king. But imagine, the White House is having a party. We need to be connected. Maybe we could, we go to NORPAC, we go to APAC. We'll talk to Biden about Schumer. We're gonna go to the party. We have to be part of the people. I'm not saying any of that is wrong. But we have to go. So Miyad Amar Mordechai got up the Hichriz. V'amar banai hoil urtzonchem hu al telchu. Mordechai said, precious Jews. And Mordechai was legal ador, don't go. You don't need to go. Maybe he had a sense that there was going to be promiscuity. Maybe he knew that they were going to be celebrating the fact that the Beis HaMikdash wasn't destroyed. We know they took out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. We lay at the Megillah, the kelim, the kelim shonim, and the Eichatun. So Mordechai said, don't go. So, did they listen to Mordechai? No? Not listening to the rabbis is not a new thing? Henichu divrei Mordechai. They left the words of Mordechai. V'holchu lebeis amishta. And they went. They went to the party. How many went? I was shocked when I saw this. Amar Bishmal, Shmona asar elef utisha meos holchu lebeis hamishta. 18,000 and 900 people went to the party. V'achlu, a big party. A big palace. You could get a lot for that one on the market. V'achlu, v'shasu, v'kilkulu. And the Jews went, they ate, they drank, and they behaved inappropriately. V'asatan histino samathnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'amar lefan ribono shalom ad mosai tidbak ba'umazu. The Malachim said, the Satan said, God, what are you dealing with this nation? Look at them. That was the third year, as we spoke about last week, of Achashverosh's rule. The beginning of the Megillah. That's the first few psukim of the Megillah. Achashverosh has his party. Mordechai, the Gadol Ador, gets up and he says, don't go to the party. And what were the people probably saying at the time? Ah, Mordechai, you're out of touch. You don't get it. You're just sitting and learning. You're too from. Well, you're crazy. We're going to go. What's the problem? The food was kosher. We spoke about this last week. Mordechai went and made sure the food was kosher. There was no Yayin Nesach. There was no Bishul Akum. They even got kosher food. And they went. And what happened immediately? Nothing. Everything was good. Right? As we spoke about last week, that was year 3 of Achashverosh's rule. Year 4, year 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The next 9 years, everything was good for the Jewish people. You're right. Esther was taken to the palace. That was not good. That wasn't an anti-Jewish thing. They didn't even know that she was Jewish. Things were very good for the Jewish people. Fast forward 9 years later, Haman comes. Okay? Haman says, you have to bow down to me. The same Kanoi, the same Mordechai, gets up and he says, I'm not bowing down. I'm not bowing down. Now, was it really Avodah Zarah? Most likely it was not really Avodah Zarah. Discussion on the Gemara, what exactly was it? Sounds that Mordechai took a chumrah on himself. Mordechai was extra strict. For Kiddush Hashem, not going to bow down. right after Mordechai defiantly and publicly doesn't bow down, and it sounds from the Gemara that Mordechai went out of his way to be there when Haman would walk by just so that Haman would see him not bow down. He was demonstrative in his not bowing down. Mordechai lo yichrav, lo yishtachaveh. And now what happens? Because of Mordechai's chumrah,
the Jewish people
are going to be destroyed. There was no lahashmid, laharog, la'abed, as kol Yehudim, to destroy the entire Jewish people until this, I'm saying this facetiously, this meshugana, this nut job, Mordechai won't just bow down. It's not real that the rest of the Jewish people are bowing down. Because of you, we're all going to get killed. So it could be the division. I'm not saying it was solely because of this, but there was a problem where you had the leadership was saying one thing, and the people were clearly not listening. Now, it wasn't everybody. I don't know how many Jewish people were there at the time, but if 18,900 went, there were probably tens of thousands who didn't go, and I'm sure they were fighting with each other. Why are you going? Why are you going? Why are you not going? Why are you bowing down? Why are you not bowing down? What's wrong? It's not Avodah Zarah. It is Avodah Zarah. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And Klal Yisrael were fighting over the conduct of the tzaddikim of that generation. In fact, the Gemara says, take a look in source number 7. The Gemara is bothered by the pasuk that introduces Mordechai. The pasuk that introduces Mordechai is Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Abira Ushmo Mordechai Ben Yair Ben Shemi Ben Kish Ish Yemini. So is he an Ish Yehudi, which means he's from Yehuda, or is he an Ish Yemini, which means he's from Binyamin? So the Gemara is bothered, well, which one is it? Is Ish Yehudi or is Ish Yemini? And the Gemara has 4 answers to that question. One answer is that we're just throwing praises onto Mordechai. Another answer is, well, his father was from Binyamin, his mother was from Yehuda. So he's both. He came from Binyamin and he came from Yehuda. And then the Gemara says that both tribes, Binyamin and Yehuda, were bragging. He's one of us. He's one of us. He's one of ours. He comes from Yehuda, he comes from Yehuda. And then the Gemara has its 4th answer in source number 7. Rava Amar, Knesset Yisrael Amra Le'idach Gisa. The Jews at the time, Knesset Yisrael means the congregation of the Jews. The Jewish people said the opposite perspective, not as a boast, but as a complaint. Nobody wanted Mordechai to be from their lineage. They thought Mordechai was the cause of all their problems. Re'u ma'asali Yehudi. Umashilem li yamini. Look what this Yehudi did, and look what it repaid me. Ma'asali Yehudi. What did the Yehudi do? Delo katle David l'shimi. David did not kill Shimi ben Gera. And what happened from there? De isyalad mine Mordechai. Mordechai was born. De mikni be Haman. And he's the one that stoked the bear. He's the one that poked Haman. He's the one that caused our problems. So it's your fault, Yehuda. He's from you. The Jewish people were divided. They were Am Echad Mefuzar Umeforad. And when there's division, there's problems. And it could be that the division was triggered because of this battle of the spiritual state, the character of the Jewish people. We're going to the party, we're not going to the party. We're bowing down, we're not bowing down. And Klal Yisrael started to fight. Klal Yisrael is fighting. When Klal Yisrael fights, we have problems. The Kli Yakar, we're going to read Parsha Zachar. This Shabbos, the Kli Yakar writes in source number 8, Kach Amalek, so too with Amalek. Kol Zman Shehayu Yisrael Shleimim Im Hashem. When the Jewish people are complete with Hashem. Ve'haya Gam Shalom Beinehem. And there's peace among them. Az lo yachal lahem klal. Amalek can't attack, can't accomplish the Jew anything when there's shalom b'nehem, when there's peace. The kasher ra'a osam b'masa u'meriva al riv b'nei Yisrael. When Amalek saw that the Jewish people were fighting, shaya meriva b'nehem, there's fights, there's arguments, there's disagreements. Then Amalek came in to attack us. And we're seeing this today. There were many reports from the interrogations with the Hamas terrorists who were captured. They knew. They knew what was going on. If we think back, Yom Kippur, the fight in Tel Aviv over Mechitza, the protest, the lack of Achdus, the Jews killing each other, that gave strength to our enemy from a practical standpoint. And I'm saying also in the bigger picture, in the spiritual realm, when there's fighting amongst the Jewish people, Hashem, we're going to fight ourselves and let other people fight with us. In fact, this week, Nasrallah from Hezbollah, he said, I know what's going on. He's like he was reading Yeshiva World. He's like, the Haredim are going to fight about going to the army. The Jewish people, we're going to be able to defeat the Jewish people. He knows this Kli Yakar. When Klal Yisrael is fighting, that opens up the door to our enemy. And the question is, do we really have we fixed that problem? Do we have Achdus today? A lot of people are talking about how there's so much Achdus in the Jewish people today. So much Achdus. I don't think it's true. I know I'm going to say right now might be a little controversial. You know, there's a statement that there's no atheist in a foxhole, which is true. It's true. But the question isn't whether in the foxhole the person's the atheist or the believer. It's what happens when he gets out of the foxhole. Now, there is something to be said about being in the foxhole and believing in Hashem, but when you have nothing else, nowhere else to turn, so we turn to Hashem. That is a madriga, it is a level. But when they're out of the foxhole and the war is over, are they back to being an atheist or not? And I think the same thing is true when it comes to Achdus. There's no machlokas during times of war. But is that Achdus or is that survival mode? Yes, it was beautiful. I'm not taking away. It was beautiful to see the non-kosher restaurants in Tel Aviv kosher for the religious soldiers and the Hasidim who are generally anti the army are going and barbecuing, and it is beautiful. And the missions and the tzedakah and the people who are doing things for people they never in a million years would have been doing for in the middle of Meir Shar and Mishabech for the Chayil, unbelievable. But is that Achdus? I mean, at that moment, it is. But there's no atheists in the foxhole. There's no machlokes during times of war. And have we really, and I'm going to try to explain a little bit what I think the key to Achdus really is. The Jewish people were divided then. Before October 7th, for sure, we were divided. And when there's Masa Umariva, when there's fighting, Amalek comes. And Haman was able to convince Achashverosh, let's destroy the Jewish people, because Am Echad Mefuzar Umefora. They're one nation, but they're scattered, they are divided. What brought about the salvation? If a lack of Achdus, if Machlokes, division, brought the problems, the only way to solve the problem is through Achdus, and you find that's exactly what happened. The one of the most beautiful psukim in the Megillah is in source number 9. Esther understands what's at stake. Mordechai very dramatically tells Esther, "Im hacharish tacharishi be'es hazos." If you're going to be quiet, you have to go. This is why you were taken. You suffered for all these years for this moment. Go do something. Esther knows what she has to do. She needs to go into Achashverosh. Risk her life on her own volition. If you don't call, if you go and you're not called, you could be put to death. So Esther says to Mordechai, "Lech kinos es kol Yehudim hanimtzaim b'Shushan. Go gather the Jewish people. And what should they do? Tzumu alai, fast for me. Val tochlu val tishtu shloshes yamim laila v'yom." The Farshim asked, well, you just said fast. Obviously, fasting means don't eat and don't drink. Why'd you need to say both, but don't eat, don't drink for 3 days? How is it even possible? Can you survive without food and drink for 3 days? Had they fast, it was Pesach. They didn't eat matzah. They didn't have a Seder. Okay. Gam ani v'narasayat sumkein. I I'm also going to fast, and then I'm going to go into the king. The same Svas Emes, who says that the Jewish people were divided, that Mefuzar Mefurad mean there was no Achtos, he says, Kenos. What does Kenos mean? Gather. What does it mean to gather? They were just fasting. You don't have to be together when you fast. So he says, Hakol, in the middle of the line in Source 10, Hakol Ayidei HaKinos VaKihila. In order to bring about a salvation, if Esther was going to go and risk her life, she knew that the salvation of the Jewish people was riding on one thing, which is kinos and kihila, being one. Umordechai atzadik icha osam. V'nis achtu al yidei, ki haya lo koach ha'achtus. Mordechai got everyone together. Didn't just gather them physically. He gathered them to a point of achtus, and he brought the Jewish people together. Mordechai said, Esther's risking her life. We need a salvation. We need to avoid being destroyed. Yidden, Jews, let's get together. Let's rebuild our sense of achtus, the division that hurt the Jews and allowed Haman to destroy us. Let's bring them together. The Manos Halevi is a beautiful parish by the author of the Licha Dodi, or Soma Alkabetz, one of the great Kabbalists buried in Sfas, in the old Sfat cemetery. He authored Licha Dodi, and he wrote a beautiful parish on the Megillah. And he says the same thing. He says, Kenos, gather, parish, sheyachnisem, deshiyekabsem, ledas echad. They should be one. V'im yesh behem kina, if there's jealousy, v'sina, hatred, v'sakur's fighting, sheyashlim b'neihem, fix it. Mordechai got the Jews together, so to speak, in one room, not in one room, but in one room, and said, Jews, we got to figure this out. We're done. Lahashmi, lahara, gula abedes, call Yehudim, figure it out. Work through your jealousy, work through your hatred, work through your froms. Kenos es kol Yehudim, get the Jews together. And you find many psukim in the end of the Megillah that highlight this idea. I put a couple of them on the next page very beautifully.
That's what we need today.
Oh, well, I'm going to get there. In Parakas, Asher Nasana Melech La Yehudim, Asher B'chol, Ir V'ir, Lehi Kahel. They got together. And then La'amod on Hashem. You want to fight for your life? First, you need to have a kihila. You need to gather together. You need to become one. A kihila. That's what we are, a kihila. You can have different opinions, as we'll talk about. Different hashkafos, but we're one. Ushar Yehudim, Asher B'minos HaMelech, Nikhalu. They gathered the amod, and the Gra says in source number 14, the amod, the achtos gamer. The Jewish people got together in order to fight. They didn't just gather and make sure they had the weapons. They probably do that also, but they had achtos gamer. And then the story in the end of Parak Tes, when the Jewish people got together and decided to keep Purim for future generations, the kibel ha'yehudim, the Gra in source 16 says, perish, Shekulam kiblu ke'achad. They were like one. What allowed the Jewish people to survive, for Hashem to override and overrule Achashverosh and Haman's decree, was kenosis kol Yehudim. They got together and they had a sense of achdus. And I believe that let me go back to that. You know, it's interesting. This hit me this morning. When did the story of Purim happen? It was in between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash. It was a few years before the second Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt. That's the timeline. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the three cardinal sins, Gila Raya, Shvichus Dam, and Avodah Zarah. The Jewish people fixed that. And then the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because they couldn't get along. Sinas Chinam. That means when it was built, they obviously got along. They obviously had a sense of achdus. There was shalom amongst the Jewish people otherwise it wouldn't have been built in the first place. It got destroyed because they lacked that achdus. That means that during this time, which was leading up to the second Beis HaMikdash, the Jewish people figured it out. There was a great sense, as the Gra says, of achdus gamer. They got along. it wasn't just, there's no atheist in the foxhole. It wasn't just, okay, let's try to save our lives, so let's get along, and then wink, wink, we know what's going to happen. And I'll explain in a minute what I think they did to help that happen, but the Jewish people figured out. And I think Klal Yisrael today needs to figure it out. You are already starting to see some of the cracks in that achdus, and what's going to happen when the war ends, and the Ezra Shem, it should be soon. And what are we going to go right back to those same rallies and the same fights? And is the country going to explode with the issue of whether those who are learning Torah should go to the army or not, and Netanyahu and not, and all? We're just going to go right back to where we were. Because have we really developed Achdus? Or was this just, there's no atheist in a foxhole? Achdus, I believe, means that we all have what to give the Jewish people. And there are many, many roles, and there are many different traits, and the different viewpoints, and the different philosophies, and that's okay. And I can think you're totally wrong, and you can think I'm totally wrong, but there's a place. There's a place for all of it. You walk around Israel today, everyone, you realize everyone's playing their role. Without learning Torah, the army wouldn't be successful. And without an army, they wouldn't be able to learn Torah. And with that, when we were there, without seeing the hilltop, the youth, the hilltop youth, who are playing their role in protecting, and you could think they're wrong, and they're playing a role, and they're Jews, and then they're the secular Jews who are playing their role, whether in building the country or financing the country, living the land, protect. Everyone is playing a role, and can we get to the point where we could see someone and say, I don't understand, or see a group of people, I don't understand, I don't think it's right. But these are Jews, and they have their approach, and I respect them. Not just tolerate, I respect them for that. Can we get to that point? Can we get to that point? I would hope yes. I'll never forget. I was once going to a funeral in a shul in Teaneck, and as I was walking in, I saw an individual who had done, I believe, and my rebbeim had believed, destructive things to the character of the Jewish people. Destructive things. And he was walking with a limp and walking into the shul. And I was a few feet behind him. And my initial thought was, this guy did bad. He's a Jew. He's a Jew. Whether he did was good or bad, let Hashem will decide that after 100 years. How can I not go and open the door for him? So I went. I remember people who were with me like, you're going to open the door for him? I'm like, yeah, he's a Yid. He's a Jew. Can we get to that point where we see people we disagree with, we think what they're doing is wrong, but we're one. We're one. Klal Yisrael had such strong opinions during the time of Purim, but that division opened the door for Haman. The Kli Yakar says it opens the door for Amalek, and it's only through Achdus, through the recognition that we're one people, that we're literally brother. You could have a brother you think is so wrong, and they're he's your brother. And can we get to that point? We're going to be tested because we all know people, probably. I know people who didn't stop talking to friends for 30 years because they were voting for Trump or not voting for Trump. We're going to be right back there in the next X couple of months. And we could disagree. And we could think of your view. I mean, this is going on all over the world, whether it's about abortion and gay rights and trans, everything, and we could have such strong feelings but not want to just kill each other, because if we're going to want to kill each other, they're just going to kill us. They did something to help concretize this. And what was that? Mishloach Manos. The Manos HaLevi, that same author of the Lecha Dodi, take a look in source number 17. This is so beautiful. And this is where the patch, this is where I think we're getting it wrong. The Manos HaLevi says, take a look in the second line, on the pasuk in the Megillah that says that they instituted Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu. Why do we have Mishloach Manos? Everyone asks. We don't have that by other Yom Tovim. Why not? Shavuos, I'll bring you a cheesecake and a bottle of wine. Pesach, Mishloach Manos. Sukkot, Mishloach Manos. Why Purim only? So he says, Kimo shahaya in yanam ki ish echad. Just like then, they became like one. Lahakel kol echad in chaveru, to bring people together. Hepech ish tsar v'oyev. The opposite, to counter that evil person. Haman, lashon rumiya, his lashon hara. Haomer am echad mefuzar. Excuse me, says the Manos Halevi, the author of the Lich HaDodi. You know why there's Mishloach Manos? It's to bring people together. Because the Jewish people were divided. So to commemorate, and I think to make sure that moving forward we wouldn't have that problem, Chazal said, at the time of this Purim story, the Anshei Knesset HaGadol, Mordechai and Esther, has to have Shalach Manos. Because Shalach Manos is going to bring people together. It's going to rectify the Am Echad Mefuzar Umeforad Bein Ha'amim. And why do we have this wrong? Because who do most people give their Shalach Manos to? Their friends. Let's make a list. We this year we did the shul to Israel, but we have the shul list, so they pick out your friends. My kids are making their list of their friends. No, I'm not such good. I'm like, good, that's the one we're going to give it to. Make the list of the people you're not friends with, then we're going to talk later about why you're not friends with them. But that's who you should give Shalach Manos to. We're not accomplishing what it's supposed to accomplish. How about we make a list of the people that maybe we're in a fight with? Maybe we're in a fight because 20 years ago they didn't invite us to their kids' bar mitzvah. I hear that way too often in the seat that I'm in right now. Oh, how come I didn't see so-and-so at that bar mitzvah? I thought that they would have been their friends. Oh, okay, well, because the last bar mitzvah, and it's this vicious cycle. Or the neighbors that just we never connected with. The person we're in an argument with. The person who maybe doesn't have the chaver that we have. That's the whole point. And too often, we're not doing that. So when I learned this, 5 years ago, I decided to do this. I had two former colleagues who I worked with at a different point in my life. This is not Rabbi Luban. This is before I came here. And I argued. I didn't have a great relationship with two of my colleagues. And I wanted to try to rectify it. So they don't live where I was living. I was living here at the time. So I called the local candy store, the shop, and order like a nice, one of those really nice Shalach Manos with a nice note. I'm sorry for what happened. Best wishes for a Freilich and Purim. Now, the place didn't deliver, so I needed to rely on one of my 17-year-old students, which was a mistake, because would he actually deliver it or not, bring it to the wrong person? But I had him deliver to a Shalach Manos to these individuals who I didn't get along with. Now, one of them right away called me and thank you so much. It was so necessary. I know we didn't get along. It was really my fault. I was like, no, it's my fault. And we met up. We had a good relationship. The other one never reached out to me. It could be they never got it and my student just did a bad job. Or it could be he didn't like the Shalach Manos I sent. But it changed my Purim. That's what Chazal had in mind. So that's my suggestion. My challenge this year, the backdrop of the story, I gave a shiur on this, and I had posted it online, and someone, a friend of mine, someone I know, reached out to me and said, I heard your shiur, and I decided to do this. There's someone in my town, who's out in Long Island, who lives down the block. We haven't spoken in 5 years about a silly argument. I went over with a really, really nice, a really expensive bottle of scotch and chocolate and candy, and I knocked on the door, and I was all nervous. What's he going to say? And he opens the door, and he goes, oh, you heard Malitsky Shear also? That was his response. Halavai. Halavai. Now, this is my suggestion. So, if you were planning on bringing Shalach Manos to me, exactly. Well, unless you need to because you did something wrong to me, don't. Think through. Think through the people who maybe, and it's uncomfortable sometimes, and it's challenging because we often don't. We like to avoid confrontation, and it's going to be an uncomfortable situation. And because that giving of the Shalach Manos is going to now open up a conversation the next week. Let's get together. And sometimes it's easier to keep skeletons. But we need to move past these issues. We need to have a lech kenos es kol Yehudim to counter a Haman of Yeshno Amechad Mefuzer Mefurad. I think that's what we try to do. It can't be every single person. I hope you don't have big lists, but it can't be everyone. Take one, take two people, neighbors, people we're not so friendly with, people we're in an argument with, people maybe 10 years ago something happened, and say, let's move past it. the note with that Shalach Manos that says from whomever will go a lot further than the chocolate or the cake or the candy or whatever. That's really the goal, bring people together. And I saw that the great Mashkiach, the Meir Yeshiva, Rav Yeruchim Lavavitch, in source number 19, we'll skip 18 for a minute, he says this. It's highlighted. He says, "May ikre ha-mitzvah hu, from the foundation or the most important part of the mitzvah, sheyishlach l'mi sheyesh lo tina v'kepei da'alav, to send to someone who has tainas, to someone who has a hakpada, someone who's upset." He says, therefore, v'chein tzarech shtei manos, davar chashev. Why do you need two manos? Matanos levionim. You don't. Davar chashev b'kdesh is pious, because the whole point is to make the person to feel good. It should be something chashev. U'b'matanos levionim dai b'mana achas l'chol evyon. You only have to give one coin to a poor person. The anim is pious, afa mana achas. It's much easier to appease an ani. He's happy with anything. B'ktsara, in short, sharshe mitzvos eluhu shetisrabe ha'ava. The point of these mitzvos is to increase love. The yesodo shel Purim hu ahava v'achva. The foundation of Purim is love and brotherhood. Achva, achtus. U'be'emes nucha lahargish zos. B'chush, we could feel this and sense it. Shepurim mashpia shefa shal bracha la'aklal Yisrael. Purim showers us with bracha to the nation. Shavsa kinas ishmerei, jealousy is gone on Purim. Batlu medanim ben achim, fights between brothers are nullified. Yom haPurim hu machak al kol zeh, it serves as an eraser for all this. So some say, that's why we wear masks. Really, the idea of a costume start with masks. Why? Again, I can't see who you are. You go to, I remember in Yeshiva, the Purim Chagiga, you can't tell who's who, because everyone's wearing a crazy costume. So you could be dancing in the middle with your bitter enemy. You have no idea who it is. And everyone's hugging everyone. And it doesn't matter. Purim, we look past all the fights and the issues. We realize that what allowed the decree to take place, thankfully Hashem saved us, was because Yeshno Amechad Mefuzar Umufura. The Jewish people were divided. Maybe they were divided because of Mordechai is too firm and he's telling not to go and to bow down, not to bow down. They were divided. Esther says, Mordechai, Leich Kenosas Kol Yehudim, get everyone together. Come to a point of Achdus, come to a point where we could disagree, respect, tolerate, respect, and value those differences, because at the end of the day, we're one people. And Chazal said, you want to make sure this sticks, Mishloach Manos, do something. It can't just be talk. We talk about Achdus all the time, and we sing Achenu. If we don't do anything about it, it's not going to change. We have to take concrete actions and steps to make sure we have that sense of Achdus. And Chazal said, you know what? Mishloach Manos. Find someone, find a person, not your best friend. That's important also. I'm not saying don't give it to your friends. We have to deepen relationships also. But think about the person. Sheyesh bo. Tina v'kepeda alav. Find the person who we're having issues with. And we could right the wrongs. We can move past it, as uncomfortable as it will be. And if we do that, there's no doubt we'll really be blessed. A real Simchas Purim, a real Freilichim Purim, when we could get past the Machlokas, we could get along, we could get to the point where next year we won't have to do Shalach Manos. We won't have to do Shalach Manos because we'll have those issues will be resolved, we'll get along, and Be'ez Hashem, we'll all be blessed with the Freilichim Purim.